Welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, a spirit-filled, multicultural church in Delray Beach, Florida. You can find out more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas on the web at themissiondelray.com.
I want you to see this. We went on this mission trip. And if you went on the trip, I want you to kind of, you know, keep the line full right here. Have like 6 or 7 of y'all come in line right now. Bam. And just keep coming up. So you don't have 20 people up there at a time. Well, we're going to share some testimonies. Come on up. Get in line. Like 6 or 7. And then when you see someone get down, somebody else get in line, all right? I want you to... Actually, here, move. I want to show a video real quick. Check this out. All right, you ready? Here, when they start this video, we'll turn off the lights. I want to set this up real quick. Here's kind of how we did this thing, all right? Can I have one of the fellows pull this down? When we went with a missionary, I called him. We talked on the phone one time before we went there. And he's like, okay, I'm filling out the schedule. When we don't have church services, we're not at a feeding program, what do you want to do to fill the day? He said, a lot of people go to see there's a large volcano. There's the largest freshwater lake in this hemisphere, and they have freshwater sharks. You want to go see that? You want to go see the beach? I said, in between the time, what I'd like to do is heal the sick. If we're not ministering, take us somewhere to heal the sick. That's what we want to do. Now, the beginning of last year, I made a declaration. I said, look, I'm going after healing this year. We are going after healing. When I say me, I mean us. I mean, if you're listening to me, I'm talking about you. We're going after healing. So they didn't even know I said this. We just want to go heal the sick. And so we get on the plane. I said, hey guys, by the way, we're just going to heal the sick while we're here. That's just what we're going to do. And so this one day we were walking down this dirt road and just finding people. And we saw this little, this trail through the woods or jungle. I don't know what you call it there, but it's thick brush, all right? So we just start going down this, and you would walk down these little trails, and then there'd be a clearing. I think they call it a campo, right? A camp, whatever. And there would be like a clearing, and they'd have what they might call a house, which you and I would just call a bad fort. You know what I mean? Like if you were 11 and you found scraps and you built something, this is my fort. You know, like I had one rock, and this whole thing's coming down. That's how they live. And we would come, and we would walk in, and we just like walk in, and people look at us, and I'd say, hello, we're missionaries from America. Jesus has sent us here to heal all the sick. And so if anybody has pain in your body, he's going to heal that too. Is there anybody here who has any pain in your body or is sick? And they'd always say, what'd they say every time? No, we're all fine. You know, we're living in dirt. We got no money, no doctors. We're fine, though. We're all perfectly fine. We say, that's wonderful. That's really awesome. Who here gets the migraine headaches first thing in the morning? Because we just get words of knowledge like bam, bam, bam. Like, who gets the headaches? Who is that? And they'd be like, oh, that's me. Really? Anything else? Yes, and I have a problem with my stomach. And my hip is bad, and my feet are swollen, and I have diabetes. In America, we call that sick, I would tell them. The word is different, apparently, but we call that sick. So we would pray for that person, and they would get healed almost every time. They would get healed. And then we'd ask that person, who else is sick that we can pray for? And they'd say, her? Okay, and we pray for her. Who else is sick? And they say, my grandmother in the next campo or whatever. And so we'd walk down the little trail. See a clearing. Hello, we're missionaries from America. Jesus Christ died on the cross that you could be saved, and he took stripes so you can be healed. We're going to pray for everybody. Say blah, blah, blah. We just went from whatever. We just did this the whole time, right? So on this one, we walked in there. We prayed for this one lady. You know, nobody was sick. We got word of knowledge. One lady got healed. And so we prayed for the next lady. And Josh was praying for her. And then we got kind of like a word of knowledge about a spirit of death. You know, there was like, we walked into this one camp, and there was like a spirit of infirmity just kind of chilling over the whole camp. You know what I mean? It was just like, oh, wow, okay, I bet there's a lot of sick people. No, we're all fine. Okay, great. And so Josh was praying a spirit of death, and then the word of knowledge really started flowing. So if you play the video, and I'm going to kind of narrate as we go here. Turn off these lights if you could, just kind of. Make sure we got that audio up. Ask this woman who put a curse on her.
Señora, ¿quién puso una
Can you all hear?
Brujería sobre ti?
Curse. How do you say curse? Curse?
¿Cómo se dice? como brujería, un
hechicero.
¿Quién te puso una hechicería?
I feel like there was a woman put a curse on her.
Que una mujer.
It was a woman put a curse on her.
No, not at all. Watch this. No, of course I don't know.
Alguien más te lo puso, otra mujer. No te das cuenta.
Look at the lady behind her.
El señor, bueno, la semana pasada.
Who's that?
¿Cuál señor?
What's happening?
¿Quién? She said a man.
¿Cuál hombre? Oh, man. Okay, it was a man.
Everybody behind her.
Someone
her
said, older.
What are you talking about? The guy put a curse on you.
He died already.
Okay, and he put a curse on her.
Y él puso un hechizo sobre ti.
Sí, debajo de un lavandero.
Yeah, she said underneath un lavandero.
Sí, sí.
Donde se lava.
Like where you wash the clothes.
And he put a curse.
Estaba yo comenzando a levantar barriga cuando me pusieron esa cosa enterrada debajo del lavandero.
She said, levantar barriga.
Now, the story is really hard
so
to follow here.
At the time,
it's just, I don't know what the heck they're talking about. But a curse has been found out. Jesus told us that she's going to be healed. That's all I knew.
And they died. Why did they curse her?
¿Y por qué te hicieron el hechizo?
She has no idea, of course, because she didn't even know she was cursed.
Era el papá del
de tu compañero.
To say that her man or her husband didn't want her.
Ah, la suegra.
Don Ardoro era.
Sí, ahí me puso él esa cosa ahí en
I guess the person that she was having the baby with to say that he didn't like her.
What are all these people saying? What's all this conversation happening? What's she saying?
Ella me dijo de que quien le puso la brujería fue el papá de la suegra de ella.
Sí.
El suegro.
O sea, abuelo del marido de ella.
Okay, so it would be the grandfather of her husband.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, check this
I'm
out.
I'm like, whatever.
Jesus tells us stuff.
Jesús nos cuenta cosas.
And he only tells us stuff because he wants to heal it.
Y él solo nos dice para que algo sea sano.
And he would only tell us about a curse if he wants to break it.
Y él solo nos diría del hechizo si él quiere partirlo.
See, she understands that. She's kind of the brain behind the operation here. So, Jesus would only tell us about the curse if he wants to break it.
Que Jesús solo nos diría del hechizo porque él lo quiere partir.
And he just told me that she had a curse.
Y él le acaba de decir a él que
I was standing right there, and that's why I asked about the curse.
Y por eso preguntó porque Dios le dijo, quería confirmar.
See?
Now look at the wind starting to kick up.
See? Yeah? No. Okay. So now he's going to break the curse.
So él va a partir ese hechizo.
Amen?
Amen.
Is that good? Is that okay? Ask him, is that okay?
Está bien. ¿Podemos?
Está bien. Break the curse? Good?
Good.
Okay, ask them. Yes? Break the curse is good? We want some agreement here. We don't want any agreement with the wicked, so we're just going to continue to ask this until we feel like there's some agreement here, right?
Está bien que oremos
we're going to break the curse. Can we break the curse break over curse this area right here? Can we break that curse right now? Yes, good?
Yeah.
Yes? Amen? Yes? Amen? See, let's do it. Ready?
Amen.
Ready? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was born from a virgin?
Señora, ¿crees que Jesús fue nacido de una virgen? ¿Sí?
Mary was a virgin and had Jesus. You believe that?
Que María fue virgen y tuvo Jesús.
That Jesus never sinned.
Que Jesús nunca pecó.
He lived a good life.
Que él vivió una vida buena.
He died on a cross for your sins.
Que él murió en la cruz por tus pecados.
That his blood came down on that cross.
Que la sangre de él cayó sobre esa cruz.
And he came back from the dead.
Y que él vino y resucitó de los muertos.
And he walked the earth.
Y él caminó la tierra.
And then he went up into heaven.
Y él ascendió hacia el cielo.
Do you believe this? And you want to keep asking that until she actually says, yes, I believe this. Say, tell her, yes, I believe. Tell her, I believe.
Diga,
¿lo crees de corazón?
Con la profese con la boca, ¿lo crees?
Sí.
Yes.
So I believe that Jesus has saved me. Put that out there.
¿Crees que Jesús te ha salvado?
Sí. Tell her to say it. I believe Jesus.
Diga, yo creo que Jesús me ha salvado.
You're the wind?
Woo, there we go. Fire in the name of Jesus.
Ooh. Watch
the bushes. Curse comes off right now.
There it is.
Fire. There we go, right there. Wow, right there. Right there, there it is. There it is. Woo, bam, right there. Bam, right there. Whoa, fire right there. Ah, whoa, yeah, there we go. Thank you, Jesus.
Fire, turn it up, turn it up.
The fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Salga demonio. Salga demonio. Salga demonio. Todo opresión. Salga. Libertad.
Come on.
Libertad. 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 Fill her with the love of God. Go ahead and start saying that.
Llénala con el amor de Dios.
Fill her with the love of God.
Llénala con el amor de Dios.
Fill her with the love of God.
Con el amor de Dios.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Gracias,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, there it is right there. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Woo! She don't know where she is right now.
Dizzy. Dizzy? Okay, put it down. Boom! Right there. Okay, we're not going to leave until she's not dizzy anymore.
Now, we don't really think she's fully free yet, so he's going to... Let's just take it off the whole camp.
Freedom. Freedom. Freedom
of the wind again?
Freedom. Y'all kind of plead the blood a little bit and all that kind of thing will be really good right now. We're going to talk about the blood. You're going to pray the blood, plead the blood, the blood, the blood.
You're the wind?
La sangre de
Jesus. There we go. You notice we started praying that the wind started blowing.
Yep,
I don't know if you'll notice that or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ask how she's doing.
Look, now that guy's not saved, but he knows she got delivered. She needs some water. She
tell her everything's going to be different now.
Que todo va a ser diferente ahora.
He don't even know that's what he was doing.
No más dolor de cabeza.
When people have major deliverance, you'll often notice they get very thirsty right after that. That's a sign often that they got delivered. Just, I don't know why, but it is what it is.
Living water.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Living water.
You feeling good? How does she feel right now?
¿Cómo te sientes ahorita?
Mejor.
¿Qué estabas sintiendo antes que ahora no sientes?
Una felicidad en mi cuerpo.
Glory.
She says she's feeling better, that she is feeling a joy in her body.
Hallelujah. Tell her oftentimes some people feel heavier, they feel lighter.
Muchas veces personas se sienten más pesados o más livianas.
How does she feel?
¿Cómo te sientes?
Lighter, right? Yeah, deliverance. They always feel lighter, but I just give them the choice so that I don't lead them in the question.
That's good.
That's what deliverance feels like. That's like good. Something came off.
Hallelujah.
I was wondering why they were.
Hallelujah.
Moral pressure.
Hallelujah. Come on, give a shout to God. Give a shout. Now listen, I happen to be in that video because I'm the pastor and that followed me around. There was 85-90% of what we saw is not on video or cameras, and I just happen to have a video of that one, so I thought I'd tell you. I'm gonna tell a real quick test. Nah, go ahead. Come on up, Kevin. Never mind. Grab a mic. Give him some volume here, y'all.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Kevin Vargas, come
Hallelujah.
On. Give him a little bit more.
Hallelujah. Glory.
So here's what I asked them to do. I would like each person, like we saw so much. I don't want to hear your testimony. I don't hear about how you raised the money and how God changed your heart. So what I said, I want you to pick out one miracle, just one thing that you personally saw. Just pick out one and share that. All right? So go ahead.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Can you put a little monitor on this?
Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right, that's new. Amen. When we first got there, after the hospital, we went to one of the top generals in Nicaragua. We went to his house to pray for his children. And from there, after we prayed for them and they got healed, we went to feed the town. We had little packages of rice. And pastor started praying for this woman, casting the devil out of her. And he saw a guy. He's like, go get him, go get him, go pray for him. So Corey and I went and after this guy, and we're just like, the first thing we know is like, hey, do you have any pain? That's just our door. And he said, no. And Corey, I was translating for Corey. And he's like, okay, you don't have any pain. Is anybody in your family? No. Okay, is there anything you need prayer for? No. And then we started preaching the gospel and just saying the wages of sin is death and God's gift is eternal life. And would you like to receive that? He was like, yeah. We said more, but just to kind of summarize it. And he's like, well, what do you want? He's like, well, I want to change my life around. So we were praying for him. He's like, just close your eyes and repeat this prayer. So we led him through salvation, and then we're like, all right, close your eyes again. You're just going to see something. So he said, okay. So we started praying for him. He's like, what do you see? He was like, I see myself changing. I was like, well, what else? He's like, I see myself going to heaven. I'm going up. I'm like, what else do you see? Look in front of you. Look in front of you. He's like, I see Jesus. I'm like, what is he saying to you? He said, he loves me.
Come on.
And I was like, wow. And it just blew my mind away. And I was like, what else? Like, that's it. We're like, all right.
That's good enough.
Bless him, Father. And just
amen.
Like, amen. Glory. And it was really an honor and a privilege to.
Do you have something else you wanted to share?
Yeah. Who has pain in their right hip?
It's like right here in your socket, in the ball hip. There's three people who got that word. So someone here has pain. Who is that?
The right.
¿Dónde está esa persona? ¿Dónde está esa persona?
Who has pain in the right side and back right here? The hip.
Okay. Well, if you get, some people might get a word because they just can't. After service, just come on over here and they'll pray for you, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Give it
Glory.
Up for, give it up for Kevin, y'all. You can take that down. I'm as good as I look. You can just put a graphic up there.
Good morning.
Wait a minute. Wait. Before you take that down. Oh, never mind. I'll tell you later. Go ahead. I was going to tell him about Houston. Go ahead.
That was good, right? That was good.
That was good testimony.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. On the same day that video was from, we were just kind of just walked straight out the compound with a couple bodyguards and just went preaching the gospel and healing the sick, just right outside the compound on that same day. we were walking down one of the dirt paths, and Gina was throwing lollipops to the kids that were running up to the fence, and Miss Tracy was handing out little lifesavers, and there were just kids lined up along the fence, like asking for candy, and what's it called? One of the moms was standing behind their children, and everyone started walking away. I looked at the mother. I was like, is anyone in your house sick? And she had no clue what I'm saying. I don't know how to say it in Spanish. So I'm like, Andres, come here. Ask her if anyone needs prayer. She's like, see, my mother. So she opened the gate, let us into her house, and there's this little old woman sitting in a chair who barely looks like she can stand up, like get up. She said, my mother's in a lot of pain. We asked her what was wrong, and she said, I have pain, severe pain from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I'm in constant pain all the time. And the first thing we asked her is, are you saved? And she said, yes. And this woman was really saved. And we're like, oh, no, this is not God's plan. We gently picked her up and held her hands and held her up. And she stood up, closed her eyes, and right when we touched her, she started crying. And we declare freedom, and she jumped in the air right away. She jumped like this burst of energy. She said, I'm free. I'm free.
Hallelujah.
And we asked, is the pain there? Like right away. She's like, no more pain. No more pain at all. It's completely gone. There's no more pain. She said, thank you, Jesus. And she just,
hallelujah.
She was crying. She gave all of us a hug that was in there. I believe it was me and Sam and Andres and maybe someone else. I'm not sure.
Amen.
Josh, maybe. And so we left her house, walked down. On the way back, Catherine saw her and said, hi, how do you feel? She's like, I feel amazing. I'm going to go see my mother. And we're like, huh? This woman's like 80 years old. Like, your mother? They're going to pray for my mom. She's in pain too. I'm like, we're like, cool.
Amen.
So that was awesome. And
amen. Give your mic to your wife. Do you have a word? Oh, go ahead. Share that.
Whose right ear hurts?
Right ear?
A lot of pressure, right, a pain.
It could, on your eardrum.
Yeah,
pressure.
Like it's inside.
Right,
it's really
over here.
Just uncomfortable.
If you got that, if you wave your hand, if you got it, you'll probably get healed before you come up.
Yeah.
But we'll just wave your hand. Let your wife talk.
There you go, babe.
Hi.
Corey preached, too. He tore the house down. Stand with your wife, bro. Corey, stand with your wife. Come stand with your wife. She came up here. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay. So the first day when we got off the bus, we went to a hospital.
And let me tell you this. I like interrupting people. I don't know if you noticed that or not. I said, listen, we're going to minister and we're going to feed kids. Right? Now you got to know, I'm probably not doing a lot of feeding programs. We went to one feeding program and we messed it up. Oh, we did. Like, we would go places, and he's like, okay, we're going to be there for like an hour. I was like, ain't no way we're going to be there for an hour. We're going to heal everybody we can find. And so we went to like, so Sarah did not come necessarily to preach the gospel and to wander the back country of Nicaragua looking for sick people. But that's kind of what we did, though. So go ahead. You can share. People keep saying the hospital. Here's what happened. We landed, and he picked us up on the bus, and the missionary says, I've never had this happen to me since we've been here. He says, but they're going to give us access to the hospital, to the Managua Hospital. We're just going to go in there and wander the halls and pray for people. Yeah. Okay. You know, and my wife said it best. That place is so nasty, I wouldn't want to stay there if I was well. So go ahead.
Okay. So we're in the hospital, and we were walking around and praying for people. The last room we went into, there was, I think, 4 people in that room. And some other people I was with was women. They were praying for other women. And then I went with Cynthia to this lady sitting by herself. And we asked if we could pray for her for anything. She said her mom was in surgery, I think, at that moment for something, for ulcers, I think. And we prayed for her for that. And then I was walking away, and I was like, wait, can I pray for you for anything? So she was saying that she was in a lot of pain. She just seemed really upset. She had, I think, a headache and something. Her body was hurting. So we were praying, and then she just was completely healed of everything. I prayed for her, and she was just smiling and excited. And then after we were praying, she just was standing up as we were leaving, like waving at us, smiling. And I was really excited. She
was
healed.
Was that the first person you prayed for, or had you prayed for a couple people already?
I prayed for a couple before.
So we'd just gotten there. You woke up in Boca.
Yeah.
You find yourself in the Managua Hospital praying for just sick people.
Yeah.
And she just got completely healed, and you prayed for it by yourself.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Give it up, y'all.
Hello.
This is Mimi. She was one of our main preaching translators.
Anyways, my story.
We don't want the whole story, Mimi. Mimi will preach. We got to leave here.
Story.
Well, okay, gotcha.
The last night, Pastor preached and Andres translated for him. They killed it, by the way.
It was mostly Drace, but go ahead.
Yeah. And they have an altar call for sick people, and Kevin goes up and starts giving words of knowledge, like, there's somebody here that's blind in one eye, and there's somebody that has this, and somebody that has that. And I'm like, Kevin, I see the blind lady. So they have the altar call, and the first lady I run into is a blind lady. And I'm like, great, this is my warm-up, right? And so I go up to her, and of course I'm not going to be like, hey, you're blind, let me heal you, you know, because it's kind of rude. So I'm like, okay. What's wrong with you? And she goes, oh, my shoulder hurts. And I'm like, okay. So I go to pray for her. And she goes like, oh, yeah. And my hip hurt, my knee hurts, and my brain is swollen. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, can you see? She's like, no. I'm like, awesome. So then I start praying for her. And then she's like, oh, my shoulder doesn't hurt anymore. And my hip doesn't hurt anymore. And my knee, yeah, it doesn't hurt anymore. I'm like, how about your brain? And she's like, no, that's still swollen. So I'm praying for her brain. It's still swollen.
Now, how do you know your brain is swollen? I'm not exactly sure.
I don't know. She was like, it's right here. And she was pointing. I'm like, okay, trying not to touch her because maybe it hurts. And then she's like, yeah, it's going down. It's going down. And I'm like praying. And I'm like, I'm praying that she can see what God has for her. Open up her eyes, Lord. Open up her eyes. And she's like freaking out. Her eyes are like freaking out, right? And then pastor is like, hey, pray for this girl next to her and heal her. And I'm like, can I finish with her first? And she's like, he's like, what's wrong with her? I'm like, she has this, this, and this, and she's blind. And he's like, okay, good luck with that. Kevin comes by. He's like, where's the blind lady? Where's the blind lady? I'm like, she's right here. He's like, okay, you got this. Walks away. I'm like, wow. Patrick comes by, which is the guy that was taking us everywhere.
The missionary, yeah.
And lays hands on the same lady. I'm like, this is my owl. I'm like, pray for her. He's like, what's wrong? She's blind. And I walk away. That's my story, though. She got healed. 4 out of 5.
Four out of five is good. You don't know. She might have got healed that night. Who knows?
She might have.
Amen. That's good. Brian and Catherine, come on up.
What's up, everybody? So Catherine and I are going to kind of milk it. We got.
Can I say this?
We're gonna have
can I just? They didn't. They don't know I was going to say this. When's your anniversary?
Next week.
Their 1 year anniversary is next week. They, yeah, woohoo, yeah, whatever. They were planning on going on a cruise for their anniversary. They took that money and went on this trip. Go ahead.
That was unnecessary. But so we got 2 testimonies, and Catherine's going to start off with our first one. We were at a church our last night, and the Holy Ghost just highlighted this one young man to me. He might have been 13, 14.
Can y'all hear okay?
You hear me? Okay. So my husband was praying for this kid, and he, you know, people are trying to drag me everywhere. Oh, translate this for me. And I was like, okay, well, I'll go to you. And so he was like,
to the husband you're saying to you. Okay, I'll go with my husband.
So he was like, okay, I have a word for this kid. And he might have been like he said, like 14, 15. And pretty much the word was, some people have plans. God has plans for people in the future, but your plan is right now. And pretty much it was, he pretty much just prophesied in him into his calling and about the village, and it was more, and yeah, pretty much he was just letting him know about what God has for him now. And as soon as I got that word, I was like, wow, this is crazy. So I started prophesying over this kid, and I was like, and all of a sudden, like, just like that, he started crying. And like, I felt like the Holy Ghost, like, all over it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy right now. Like, this kid, like, literally, like, he felt it. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. I'm here, like, ministering with my husband, and I feel like I just gave him that word.
Hallelujah.
Well, number one, because we're one. And number two, because and number two, because I was the one that gave him the word, like, in Spanish. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
To see the hunger of people.
Amen.
Yeah, it was really tight. The Lord showed me His call, and the word actually was that that the Lord has calls for people that they come into sometimes later in their years, and the word for him was, you know, you're called right now to reach your generation, your age group, and I just told him to receive it, and the anointing came upon this young man.
What's funny about Brian is he feels no ministerial call at all. He feels called to the business realm. He prophesied everything that moved in Nicaragua.
I got a lot of words. I don't know what to say.
It's like, you leaf, I believe the Lord has called you to create more chloroform than any other leaf on the tree. You know, he was probably everything that moved, he had a word for. It was awesome.
It was tight.
Now flourish, now. Yes, yes. Flower, come forth. Glory, glory. You know.
Yeah,
not really, but you know.
And so the young man was blessed.
Yeah, he was.
So that's testimony number one. And then we're going to go back to the hospital the first day we arrived. And I was ministering with Pastor, and Andres was translating for both of us, and we went to one room, and there was about six beds per room, so it was a pretty packed room, and there was a gentleman in the middle, a lady kind of hanging out, keeping these two guys company, and then a gentleman furthest towards the window, and so while we were ministering for the gentleman in the middle, Pastor told me to start praying for the lady that was keeping the two guys company, it seemed, and so as we're praying, of course, I get another word for her, and I. Andres translated it for me, and it was a similar word. The Lord showed me he had a ministry set apart for her, and he really wanted to use her. And so, prophesied her into that, declared the anointing of God upon her, and she got touched. The Holy Ghost came upon her, and it was wild. And then we discovered that we think one of the gentlemen was her husband, and he was sick in bed and just looked really bad. And Pastor ended up leading him to the Lord. Long story short, and we asked him. The man knew he wasn't saved. He knew he didn't know Jesus, knew he wasn't going to heaven if he died. And so we led him to the Lord. The man got filled with the Holy Ghost, touched, and just radically
And the wife
saved.
Was bawling. She was losing her mind as her husband was getting saved in the hospital next door. It was kind of like it was validation of her call.
Right.
Like, God, the Lord is going to use you. And
confirmed
then,
it.
And then her husband got saved right there. It was
pretty
glorious. Awesome. Amen. Give it up.
Let's
listen
to this.
Hey, let me get that, Brian. Let me get that for a second. This is my beautiful bride. When we got married, she thought, you know, one day maybe we'll lead a small group or something.
I was one of the people that was planning to go and love on some kids and pray for some children and feed some kids.
Programs, yeah.
And we got off the plane and they took us to this hospital and they split up the men and the women and I was in charge of praying for the sick. For the women. I was like, oh, wow, I wasn't planning on doing that. But praise God, God used me and people got healed in the hospital.
Yeah, amen.
And there's so many testimonies that I want to share, but there's so many things. The trip was so life-changing. And so I wanted to share. People are going to talk a lot about the healings that we saw, but my heart was changed when I was there. And I wanted to just share. We went into the dump, and I don't know if we're going to show any pictures of it.
Not
but
this week, probably.
You've seen a dump. In the dump that's here, that's there in
They're
Nicaragua.
Not the dump, by the way.
That's not in the dump.
I didn't get a chance to put the other slideshow, so you guys don't have to worry about this.
Okay. We went to the dump, and the reason we went to the dump was not because of the garbage there, but because people live in the dump. And people live in the dump because they make their living from the dump, and there's children walking around with bare feet, scavenging plastic and whatever. And there's this community. There's these children who were there are mothers. We prayed for a pregnant woman who we asked her, when is her baby coming? She said, I don't know. There's just people. The people that were in Nicaragua, the standard of living was so low, but this was the lowest of the low. And it was so impactful to me to see people shouldn't have to live like that. And the injustice of it made me angry. And we hear about these things and we see these, you know, television shows, you know, they're asking for money. This is real. We were in there. The place stunk so bad. I was trying not to throw up. And people live in this place. And it was a reminder to me that we can't forget the poor. If you can go through the Bible and just look up how many times throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that it says that we should not forget the poor, we should feed the hungry. And I was reading in John chapter 21 that when Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my lambs. And again, he said, feed my sheep. And we have to remember, we have to feed these people. There's people that are starving. And you may not be going to these countries where these people are hungry. There's people hungry right here in the U.S.
Amen. Amen.
And if you're not going, send money. Because they're feeding people. This Samaritans International, they feed 40,000 children a day. And these kids that we saw, they have this like beautiful highlighted hair. We thought, oh, how pretty. It's a sign of malnutrition. These
like,
gorgeous,
like their body doesn't have enough nutrients to color their hair.
Gorgeous children, and they're not starving to death because they're eating mangoes and fruit off the tree, you know, the trees, but they're not getting enough nutrients. And
you
this,
can stop doing the slideshow. Okay. It's just...
Sorry. But I was really touched to remember that there are hungry and poor people that we cannot forget. We need to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
We need to feed the hungry.
Yeah, that's a good word.
That's
right
what
there.
I want to say.
Amen.
Jean DeRocha.
Jean.
Hi,
rocking it the whole way.
Yes. Hi. So in this trip, I would say my testimony would be that I was able to really just be in the spirit the whole trip.
Amen.
And denied the flesh.
Yeah.
Completely, just about. So I would say my testimony is in doing that, I experienced prophecy, healing, words of knowledge.
Through you, you're saying?
Yeah, through me. Through me, where it was just like crazy when the service would, you know, the fire would fall and you start praying for people. And it's like out of nowhere, I'm just praying to them, getting these words from God, and they start breaking down crying. Or God told me, pray for that pregnant woman. And I'm like, is, you know, what's up with your baby? She's like, my baby has, you know, it's the baby was sick. So God told me to pray for that child, you know, pray for your baby. And it's like, oh, it was amazing to have God work through me and not even be worthy of it.
Amen.
You know? But what I would say, one healing that I saw that was really, really cool, I witnessed Pastor. We were at this church that was just had a covering of witchcraft.
Oh, it was nasty. We call it the demon church.
Yeah. It was really bad. And there was this little boy, like most of the little kids were cross-eyed and like bad kids. And this little boy had like a lazy eye or something. And he's sitting right there. And Pastor's standing right here. And Pastor like shakes his hand and is looking at him in the eyes. And he has one eye that's like over here and one eye that's looking at Pastor. And Pastor's just looking at him. And I'm standing there watching this. And the little kid is looking at Pastor and he's like, and then he would look at Pastor and he'd be like, because he felt his eye going back.
It was moving
to normal.
It started quivering.
His
and freaking
eye
out.
Started like moving and going back, like being healed. And the kid was like, like, what's happening to my eye? And then he would look at Pastor and like his eyes were aligned.
They just move.
Again.
We just watch it. Bam. I wasn't going to tell that story. I was
going to
save that one for myself, but oh well.
All right. What is it say?
We got a lot of stories. Amen. Give it up for Jean, y'all. Y'all getting bored? Okay. Diane preached. She preached the house down one night.
Hey. One of the ministry experiences I saw that really stuck out to me. Like they said, there was a lot of things that happened. But one night, Pastor preached and he had an altar call. And I don't know if you guys know this, but when you're in a different country that doesn't speak your language, sometimes it's hard to communicate. And, you know, we had a bunch of people on the trip that spoke Spanish, but and we would ask, you know, come translate. And Pastor had an altar call, and only five people came up. About five, six people came up. And, you know, in my heart, I was like, all right, cool. I get one person. I'll grab Catherine, Andre, somebody, and somebody will translate. I promise you, 2 seconds after, there was a flea of people running up, and all Pastor said was, go, missionaries, and we were gone. There was no time for translators. We were laying hands. Sarah was running back. Fire, fire, and the words came. And it was so amazing because at that at that point, you know, I asked God before I left on the trip, please teach me what it means to be in your anointing, what it means to minister at your anointing. And at that point, when I knew that I did not know Spanish and I was praying for people and the words are coming and I was saying words in Spanish that I never heard before, you know, I asked Catherine on the bus after, you know, is this word in Spanish? Because I said it to someone. She's like, yeah, that's how you say it. And I was just so excited because I was able to lay hands and people were crying and I didn't need a translator at that point.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus, I was so excited. I'm really excited. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on up. Come on, Ron. Rápido. Rápido.
Hey, everybody.
Where's Andres? Get in line, bro. Who else? Hey, if you haven't gotten in line yet, let me see how many we got left. Come on. Go ahead.
All right. One of my favorite moments was actually it was actually the second moment or the second time that happened, whereas pastor made an altar call, and people would just like bombard us with like, you know, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And every time pastor would ask us to like, every time pastor would give an altar call, he'd just look at us and he'd be like, all right, go get it, you know. And then we'd like, what? He's like, go.
The first night I preached, I was like there was this patch church, right? And I was like, and if you want that, I want you to come forward. Now, I'm like, now the prayer team is going to come and the ministry team is going to minister to you. And like all our people are on the front row and they're like, wow, who's the ministry team? I was like, no, that's y'all. That's y'all. Y'all got to get this. I'm not praying for everybody. Go ahead.
All right. So we had to like go out and just like, it was literally, because we were like, there's so many people surrounding us. We had to like literally fire, 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 fire. This person go out, fire, fire, fire. Extend like two hands at a time, just like praying for people. People were just like falling to the left, falling to the right. And then we just kept going. And a lot of the times you'd look for an interpreter, but you couldn't find one because they were either with pastor or they're already, you know, praying for somebody. So there was this one lady who was just kind of watching, right? And she was hanging back. You know, and then we was just, Jean was next to me, and I was like, let's go pray for this lady. And then I couldn't speak to her, so I just extended my hand and started, you know, saying, yeah, yeah. And she's like, no, I'm okay. And then so I just, you know, went up to her, and I just, you know, kept saying, yeah, yeah. She was like, no, I'm okay. So I just grabbed her hand. And then I just,
that's a good disciple right there.
You know, so I just grabbed her hand, and I pulled her. And then
for us, if you came to the service, that's permission enough right there.
And then so me and Jean started praying for this lady, and it's just so crazy. It didn't take long at all. I mean, she threw her hands up immediately, and then she was just shaking, and like, huh? She was, and this, what was crazy to me was not that this was happening, because we were seeing a lot of that, but the fact that while we were praying, you know, we're laying hands on their heads and praying for them, I stopped. For like a brief moment, I swear time slowed down. I stopped for a brief second, and I looked around at all of us who were praying for people. You know, I seen women like on our ministry team crying as they're praying for people. I seen guys who don't speak Spanish and, you know, our Spanish speakers just calling down fire on people's lives. And then I stopped for a second. Then I looked at pastor, and then he looked at me, and then he was just like, you know, he was praying for somebody, but he just like, he nodded his head. It's like, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. And I was like,
amen.
To me, it was like so affirming. It's like, yeah, this is what we're doing. This is who we are. This is what we do. You know, and I just,
we
got
that life.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, and I just shook my head with them like, man, I can't believe this, you know?
Amen.
And then it was crazy.
Denise, come on up. Amen. Amen. Give it up for Ron, y'all. Ron was flowing. My God, Ron was flowing up at that trip. That was, go ahead. Give it up for Denise, y'all. Denise came to be part of the children's feeding program that we did for about a half an hour. And then we walked her all over Portucuape, Nicaragua.
And it was so hot.
Yeah, it was fairly warm.
Yeah, it was very hot. Yes. I went there to feed children. I did not go to actually probably pray for healing. But we got to it was the second night. The first night you preached and it was mostly kids, and pastor was like, stop praying for the kids. Go pray for the adults, because I was just like all over the kids. So the second night we got
She's
there.
The mission kids director, by the way.
So the second night we got there, and like Diane said, when we first started, pastor called us up there, and there was like five people that came up. And then you lifted up your head, and all of a sudden it was just like this huge crowd of people. And he was like, go. So we went, and I was praying for this one lady, and I was just calling fire down, but I was praying in English because I don't know Spanish. I mean, I know a few words, but I don't know Spanish. So, yeah, but I got that. And all of a sudden, Sam comes up in my ear and he goes, "You better get a catcher." And I looked at him like, "Sam, that's not going to be necessary." So I had my hand on the side of her head and I was like, okay. And this whole time, I mean, it's like happening so quickly in your mind. I kept hearing Pastor say, "These people don't know you. They don't know anything about you. So just go ahead. Let it loose." So I'm like, okay, let's try this. So I had my hand on the side of her head. So I went, "Fuego de Dios!" And I moved my hand like this, and all of a sudden, my hand was still here, and the lady was falling. And I'm like, I went, "Oh, snap! That was..." So that was good.
Amen. Denise got the "I've been stretched in Nicaragua" award. I got to tell you what. She's like, "Oh, we're going to go love on some little kids." Now we're marching all over Managua. That's what we're doing. Give it over to Cynthia, y'all.
Hey, guys.
Cynthia was another key translator that we had on the ground. Go ahead.
Okay, so pretty much I was one of the translators that was pretty much helping other people minister most of the time at the beginning. I didn't really get a lot of personal FaceTime with these people, but I was like, it's okay, you know, I'm still helping out. I was a little bit timid at the beginning. And what Pastor told us was, like Mama D was saying, these people don't know you. You could be the most on fire preacher that you can think of. And I was, after the demon church, I was getting so much warfare. I didn't really want to do that. And I mean, I was having, you know, some like personal stuff all of a sudden come up and I'm like, what? But then the last night, I was like, okay, I was talking to Diane and Mimi, and we were saying, okay, no holding back. We cannot hold back. And I was like, all right, the last night, I was like, okay, tonight I'm pastor. I was running away from people. I was avoiding eye contact with people that wanted me to translate for them. So I'm running around, and I'm like, I walk up to this lady. I had a word of knowledge for her wrist, and I'm like, okay, and she told me, okay, I pay my rent. So I'm like, okay, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you. That's it. And so I said maybe like a handful of words. She's like, my wrist is better. I'm like, no, are you sure? Twirl it around, do this.
Are you sure you're healed? Are you sure? Look for it. Are you sure?
I'm like, no, you're not going to just tell me, because I almost had a feeling like they were just going to tell me just to, you know.
Because he wouldn't actually use you to heal. I mean, what?
So I'm like, okay, twirl around. And then I started just, after that lady, I just started going after people. And I got so many women for pain in their womb. And so I was just kind of going after that. And this lady, she told, you know, she's like, I have pain in my womb. And I'm like, okay, so do you have it right now? Yes. Okay, Lord's going to heal you. Prayed for her a couple of seconds, and bam, it was gone.
Hallelujah. Give it up, y'all. It was funny at the beginning. They were like, yeah, I'll translate. I'll translate. Kind of like you got out of having to pray for people. At the end, you couldn't find a translator nowhere. They're like, I'm busy right now. Like, Josh Kopka, everybody.
What's up, everyone? All right. So my best moment was the first day at the hospital. We split up into groups, and we were going throughout the hospital and praying for all the people in the rooms. And it was about the end of the trip at the hospital. They were kind of rounding everybody up, and we were gathered together. And I think Silvio came to up our guard came up to us, and he's like, "Hey, there's somebody over in that other room over there that she's an amputee. Someone had to cut her leg off because I believe she was in a car crash, and she wasn't looking too good." So we go in there, and there's a couple other people in the room already. And they're praying for her. And
he kind of glossed over something. She had lost one leg already, and the other leg, she lost her left leg, I think, and her right leg. I don't know. Imagine if you like put a very large explosive inside your leg. How it might look? It was just open. And there's no screens on the window, or that one I think had a screen over half the window. Which, how many of you know that doesn't really help? If half the window is covered in a screen, the bugs can get around the screen. You know what I'm saying? So they had, like, mosquito netting over her leg so the bugs don't land on it. Okay, so it was. It looked like that, and it looked like it started to ferment. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it.
Kind of in the despair.
Yeah, it was nasty. It was. It was bad. Go ahead.
Okay, so a bunch of us were praying for. Well, I was kind of in the back. I was like, no, Jesus. She just wanted to experience the presence of God, and she was like, you know, she was really like, I want it, I want it, I want it. And I saw them finish their praying, and they kind of left the room. And while they were praying, I saw, I got a vision for her, and I was like, Andres, come here, quick, I got something for you, or to translate for her. And I was like, Andres, tell her I see her dancing. And then, so he goes up and he says it, and her hands start to shake, and she like covers her face, and she just starts bawling, and then she just raises her hands.
Yeah, the glory came over her at that point, right? And you use that word, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And she was just like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then we just all started worshiping in the room, just
right there. Yeah, it was awesome. It was, you kind of had to be there, but it was just incredible. This woman received hope in the midst of a really, really, really nasty situation.
Yeah.
And Josh was another one prophesying over everything that moved. And he would get these words that we would be praying people, and he'd like, hip, ear, neck, elbow, with a dog. Can I finish with this before we move on to the nine other things that you had? So give it up for Joshua.
Vince DeLuca.
Vincent.
So on the last night, after Pastor preached the message, he had the altar call, and all the Spanish speakers were gone. So I'm walking around. I don't really speak Spanish. So I'm just like, I'm asking if they have pain in Spanish. I'm like, tienes dolor, tienes dolor, tienes dolor. And this woman's like, she points to like her daughter.
They love to do that. No, I'm not sick, but he is. They did a lot of that. Nobody was sick, but everybody knew somebody who was sick. That was funny.
So I'm like, okay. I'm like, ¿dónde? And she points to the girl's ear. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Go ahead.
So I'm just praying. I'm like, Lord, you know, simple prayer. Can you heal her? And I'm like, ¿tienes dolor? And she goes, and I look at her mom like, ¿tienes dolor? Mimi! She got healed. Can you tell her and ask her what happened? And Mimi's like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And she looks at the girl, looks at me, looks back at the girl. She was deaf in that ear. I was like,
hallelujah. That's a good moment right there, y'all. Hallelujah. That's good. Give it up for Vince, y'all. Everybody, may I introduce to you. No, I won't do it. Let me just say this. He was very popular with the ladies in Nicaragua. That's all I got to say. We had a guy. Okay, never mind. Go ahead. He was very popular. That's all I have to say. The ladies love some Andres. That's all I'm trying to say. Go ahead.
So this trip for me was a stretching for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, he was my main translator, and he thought, you know, I might get to translate a little bit while I'm there because I'm bilingual. He didn't know he was going to preach every night with me. Yeah. He did not recognize.
I thought there'd be a rotation or something.
He thought there'd be a rotation, and he'd be talking a little bit because he's not a preacher. I mean, at least he wasn't a preacher. And he'd be like, I'd preach, and he'd say, this is, I'd be like, no, come on, you got to preach that. Preach that. Preach that. And at the end, he's like, and the fire of God will come down. And I'd be back here. I'm like, what happened to my translator? Go ahead.
So it was a stretching. If Pastor would have told me, I don't know if I would have gone, but it opened me up to a lot of different things.
Yeah, talk a little bit. Go ahead.
Before this trip, you know, I was trying to work for a lot of things, and I just realized the grace that God has on our lives. Like we'd go pray for people. I saw a lady get healed of an ovarian infection, and I'm just thinking in my head, I didn't read my Bible this morning. Like what the heck? Like, what is going on? You know, just God just wants to heal people. God just wants to touch people. And it was just amazing. My moment, like, one of the things I'll never forget was the last night when we were coming back. We were on the bus. We're going home. And, you know, by day two, I had a checklist. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this crazy. I was like, okay, I want to see somebody get whacked. I want to see somebody get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, I had a checklist. And I was like, okay, I haven't seen anybody get baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. So I was sitting down, and I got a word of knowledge for a hip pain. So I'm asking people on the bus who has a hip pain. And Zach, one of the missionaries there, was like, oh, ask the girl next to you. So I asked her, do you have a pain? She's like, yeah, it goes from my hip all the way to my knee. So I was like, all right, let's pray.
And this girl was one of our worship leaders.
Yeah, she was our worship leader.
She lives there, but she's one of the worship leaders. So she was traveling with us on the bus.
And so I prayed for her. The pain went away. And Cynthia goes, get her baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, or Mimi, somebody said it.
Don't rob her of her glory.
That went over there. And we just begin to pray.
Recibe toda la gloria. Mimi, really see? No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And we begin to pray. I just begin to pray for her and, you know, just declare, because I could see that she was hungry. She wanted more of God. She had seen all these healings. She's like, you know, there's more. I want it. And I just begin to pray and pray and pray. And she said she heard a tongue, you know? And so I just kind of walked her through. I let her know, you know, the devil's going to tell you that this is you. Just speak it. And she began to speak it, and she just began crying and crying. And I'm just looking at her. I'm like, I'm getting, like, tears myself. Just, like, this is so beautiful, you know? I've never seen something like this. And it was amazing.
It was really awesome. It was really awesome. And it was really funny. Like I said, imagine, like, you just love Jesus, and you have no desire to preach. The thought of being up here sharing a message is like, no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. I like watching preaching, but no. And so, like, we would have an altar call. And, like, I would say something. And we had enough altar calls. I was like, at this point, he knows what to say. So I'd minister to people, and I'd just be like, Andres, I don't hear you. And he'd have to be like, come receive your blessing. Come forward now and let the Lord touch you. Come forward. The fire of God will fall on your life. Come, God will translate. And he would, for 20 minutes, he would just be preaching and calling down fire. And it was anointed. It was anointed, right? It was good. I mean, yeah, if you want to bless anybody, bless this man right here. He tore it up. He just was like, it ain't about me. It's about Jesus. God is well able to use me because he can use anything he wants. So you are a great blessing to me. So give it up for Andre.
Love you, Pastor.
Houston. And this is kind of a funny story. We got to the Demon Church, and it's an outdoor church, and there's just like, I don't know, 100 kids there. And we get off the bus. I said, Andres, come translate for me. I said, we've come from America. It's a great blessing to be here. I would like to introduce to you this famous American professional baseball player, Alex Rodriguez. And they're like, play baseball with us. But he's Spanish. They're like, oh, come play baseball with us. We want to play baseball. And so we just called him Alex Rodriguez the rest of the day. You're like, you don't look like A-Rod. Who cares? You know, they'd never seen him. You know, we thought that was funny. And then we gave everybody fake names at that church. Ron was LeBron James.
LeBron.
Gene was pink, you know. It was pretty funny. Go ahead. We have Brett Favre with us. Corey Pagano. Go ahead.
I just want to say thanks to everyone that was praying for
Amen.
Us while we were over there. They definitely were heard. I don't know if they mentioned this, but it didn't rain the entire time that we were ministering at all. Like,
it rained so much before we got there, and there was the forecast was supposed to rain all the way through. It rained so hard that the road that gets up to the missionary compound is a riverbed, and it just went to a river, you know. And the day we got there, it stopped raining, and the day we left, it started raining again. Not saying it was us, but you know.
Yeah, you've heard a lot of references to the Demon Church that we were ministering at, and I mean, they mentioned it because it was that serious. It's like, imagine, it's like walking through some doo-doo, but like, you can't move that. It's
you know, as we drove up the hill to get to this church, like the entire bus, everybody in the bus was like, oh, I got a word of knowledge for headaches. I was like, dude, we all got headaches. It's the witchcraft. Yeah. It was like, well, you know, like you drive up and like into the mountain, you ascend into like the clouds. It was like that, but it was a cloud of witchcraft. It was so, the church wasn't demonized, but the entire city was, I mean, this little, I don't know what you call it, but the whole place was, I mean, like they had like groups of men on the side of the road huffing glue. You know, it was like, it was just nasty. Yeah. It was just witch, and we were walking the streets witnessing. At one point, like clouds of weed would come past us with people doing ceremonies. It was just crazy. It was just nasty.
So, we get there and a ton of kids just meet us at the bus, and they just kept following us because we're going through the hood trying to invite people to the to the service, and we're going house to house and stuff, and these kids just kept following us. So, I mean, I personally believe that God planned this trip specifically for me, just because there was plenty of sick people and there was plenty of kids too. I mean, I love sick people and I love kids. I'm doing Mission Kids today.
Your kids aren't being watched right now, by the way, but that's okay.
You know, they're just following us, and you know, we just feel that pressure from all the witchcraft in this area. So, you know, there's something so kids are just awesome because they're so innocent, and they're just happy. They're in the middle of this. I don't even know how to explain it. Like I said, it was like just walking through some funk. But these kids, like, you can't fake the innocence or the joy that they had despite the circumstances or whatnot. And then it gets to worship time, so me and Ron just let loose. I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, we got this witchcraft here, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So I'm going to worship like I'm a pull David stunt right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, my clothes stayed on. My clothes stayed on. Don't be thinking I'm dancing. My clothes falling off with the little kids. But we just worship. Like, I mean, we got the kids in a big old circle. We're running around dancing. There's one little girl that kept bringing kids to us. And, you know, we're playing with them. Like, pick me up, pick me up. So every time I pick up a kid, I just start speaking blessing over them. I'm like, God, I thank you for the life this child has. I thank you for the plans that you have for this child. Lord, I pray that you just preserve the innocence in this kid and that you just use them for great things. And, I mean, there was a lot of kids. And to me, that was just the most awesome thing. And so after worship, Pastor Carlo, which is a combination of Pastor Carl and Andres preaching together, their powers combined make Pastor Carlo. But it was like I was getting whacked the entire preaching, but it's like quiet. We outside and it's quiet, and it's just like it was some rough. I mean, I wasn't up there, and I'm like, man, I feel pretty Pastor. But right after that, altar call comes and the Spirit of the Lord just drops. It just drops. Altar ministry was, like, I can't emphasize enough just how strong that the oppression from the witchcraft was in that area. I mean, they call it the demon church. But, and when it came time for the altar call ministry, it just dropped so hard. We're walking around. This guy just says, we go up to him and say, so is there anything you want prayer for? And he's like, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I'm like, that was easy. All right. This girl, the same girl that kept bringing all the kids to me, brings a infant to me. And she's like, this kid has pneumonia. And I mean, you can't really ask a kid if he's been an infant, if he's been healed, you know, but the kid, he had a mean mug on his face. He's like, And I was like, is it all right if I hold the baby? She's like, yeah, hold him. And I just start declaring life over the child. And Ron and I were praying for him. And I didn't know this until after we had prayed for the kid. And we were already on our way back home. But he had a, like a, what you call it? His lungs just started like, yeah, it was, he had trouble breathing, which was like, that's the word of knowledge for that pneumonia. But I was just praying, declaring life over the kid, and after I prayed for him, his face just lit up, and he's just happy, and I see like just life come into the kid, and he's just smiling, his eyes looking at me, and that was, I mean, for our first 10 minutes in Nicaragua, basically like, is worth the entire trip. And amen. That went on for entire 4.5 days.
Every night we'd be like, can you believe we've only been here 2 days? Yeah, I can't believe it's only been 2 days. It's like, I could go back right now. And the next morning we'd be like, if that just happened, that would be like, one time we were, they have an elementary school at the missions camp, and we brought a pool with us. We're like, we're having a baptism. And so we're like, we're having a baptism. They're like, okay, we'll have an assembly of the elementary school. And Sam shared the gospel, did a little teaching on baptism, and we baptized half the elementary school.
Hallelujah.
I mean, like, people were catching. I mean, it was just like that. Was just, it was like that kind of favor the whole time. Yeah. It was pretty wild. We'll give it up for Samuel. I'm going to tell a story, then you tell a story, all right? Because I'm going to tell another story after that. one really cool thing that I saw, we were going down this jungle path, we met this woman who was pregnant. And we're going to let y'all out of here in a minute. Going down this path, we met this woman who was pregnant, and she took us to her grandmother to get her grandmother healed. Grandmother got healed. And Kevin was like, hey, this girl's got to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, the pregnant girl. So grandma got healed, we were leaving, and Kevin was like, no, the girl, the Holy Ghost, okay. So we go to the girl, and she's like, I preach on the buses, people get saved. And I was like, but the Lord wants you to operate in power, you know? And so we pray for her, and I have video of it. Like, the glory comes upon this woman. Like, she's getting blasted. And she starts bawling and all that, and she says, she brings her mother over, she goes, she's pregnant. She says, I took a nap today, and in the nap, I had a dream. And in the dream, a group of men came out of the woods, and they came and prayed for me, and I received power from God. I said, you think that was us? She said, I think that was you. So that was really, really cool. Tracy, you got something?
I just want to share one testimony similar to what Diane talked about. We went to a church the second night. Thank you, Denise. And when we came in, you know, we started, it was really awesome because gifts are really being activated more so than we had experienced previously. And I had a word of knowledge about that there was going to be a lot of women that felt alone and lonely. And if you know about in this country, there are so many single moms trying to feed their kids. And we're in this service, and it was majority women. And we were going to pray, and this was the church where there were so many people that came to the altar, like, you could not get a translator. Now, I speak un poquito de español, okay? So I was trying to, but I was frustrated the night before because I wanted to share things with people, and I didn't have the words to say it. It was so frustrating. Like, I felt like I wanted to tell them something, but I didn't have the words to say it. And I just, the anointing was so strong, and I started praying for these women, several different women, and I started telling them how precious they are to God, how He cares about them, that they're not alone, that God loves them, and He calls them beautiful. And they were so touched by just that encouragement, that love of God. And I felt like there was an anointing for me to be able to communicate that. So I was really thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. Last story, and then we're gonna break down. And if you got sickness in your body, you can be healed. For me, you know, I preach this a lot, and I mean it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints for the working of the ministry. Right. And if people are not being equipped for ministry, then you probably don't have any fivefold ministers in the church. If you got an anointed preacher, big deal. If the people aren't being equipped, then all you're at is you're at a conference. You know, just, I'm not going to go down that road. And so my heart has always been to see people operating gifts and come into their identity and be the church. That's always been my heart. And the first night or second night, I don't remember, I was sitting on the bus, and there wasn't a person on the bus who wasn't giving testimony to how God was using them. They were preaching, they were leading. I mean, you got to understand, everywhere we went, we ministered. Like, we would have to stop to use the restroom at a gas station, and the grocery, the clerks would get saved. People bumping gas got healed. I mean, everywhere we went, it was like, you know, there were 17 of us. So everybody walking around was going to get touched by God. You know, and we went to the hospital, and then we went to this police guy's house. His son couldn't breathe right because he had damage to his bronchial tube. So he couldn't do anything athletic, and he didn't have asthma. It was actually damaged. He couldn't breathe right. And we prayed for him, and we told him, go test it. And he ran around, came back, and he wasn't winded, and he had no problems at all. And it was just, and the people were like, wow, we prayed for this guy. And for me, as a pastor, I love seeing the miracles. I love seeing healings. I love the prophecy. I love the salvations. I mean, I love that because it glorifies Jesus, not man. But for me as a pastor, to see the people, like, it was, and this might sound silly, but it felt like a stamp of God's validation on my ministry. Like there is an actual fivefold ministry happening here because people are being equipped for ministry. So many people, they go on a mission trip, and all they really do is they go to a conference overseas. And that wasn't the plan. We saw a missions team. Did I say this already? We saw a missions team when we got in the airport to leave, and there was 50 of them or 30? 50 of them. They had been there 10 days. 60 of them. There were 70. There was 130 of them. They brought three planes worth of people. So there were 50 or 60 of them, and they had been there for 10 days. And they're like, yeah, we stayed at this resort, and we did skits in churches and stuff. And we're like, wow, that's really like, where did you guys go? We're like, we went to the middle of nowhere, and we kind of stayed there. I'm like, wow, did you see the stuff? No. And they're like, well, what'd you do? And we're like, we healed the sick, saw miracles, led people in salvation. And we're talking to this guy who's like a leader, and he's looking at me, and the guy next to him is like, you saw a miracle? We're like, yeah, a whole bunch. And he says, I wish I'd have seen one. I'm like, wow, I don't know how much you paid for that trip, but you got robbed, you know? Like, you went to camp. We went to bring the gospel, you know? And I'm not knocking anybody, but what really blessed me was, I mean, we have folks come on the mission trip, as far as I could tell, had never had any ministry training, and other folks have been contending, and everybody saw miracle signs and wonders begin to operate, and that's it. So I want to bless you because I've kept you here too long already. If you stand to your feet, let me just speak a blessing over you. If you've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you have an inheritance, but you have the world's inheritance, and it's time to give it away. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your people. Father, those who sowed into this mission trip, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. They gave toward this, so they have an inheritance from this, Jesus. I pray that you would bless them. But Father, even more than that, I pray, just like Cynthia said, that people would just say, you know what? I'm not me, the one who's not anointed. Today, I am a child of the Most High God. And my God has given me an inheritance to give away. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless these who sat under all this talking today patiently. Father, I pray that as they have manifested the fruit of patience, you would bless them abundantly, and that your Spirit will come upon their lives, and you would bring them divine appointments. Father, I pray even in the next 24 hours, coworkers will come out of nowhere, just weird things, and say things like, you know, it's weird, my right hip is hurting. And you just bring to remembrance, it was a word of knowledge of right hips yesterday in church, that they now have authority to lay hands and heal that person. Father, that you would bring divine appointments, just like Sam said. Someone will come up to him and say, you know what, I want to get saved. Do you have any idea how to do that? And they'll say, as a matter of fact, I do, because I'm saved, therefore I can give it away. Father, I pray that miracle signs and wonders would manifest under their very hands for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Give a shout to God, y'all. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you have one of those words of knowledge, if you had that illness in your body, I guarantee you're going to be healed. Just come on over here. And if you would, help with the teardown. If not, we love you and appreciate you in the name of Jesus.